Welcome to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
I'd love to welcome everyone to the program, and thank you for coming. This is Milton, and I am the pulpit minister at the Yucaipa Church of Christ. And today's lesson is entitled, Christ Made All Possible. I'd like to turn your attention together with me to the following important passage. And this one is in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Let's take a look at it together to start. Again, that's 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Over the years, many of us have looked to the stamp or seal that verified that the packaging of a product was official and from a particular manufacturer. This stamp or seal or emblem was the company vouching for the contents of the package. And as I grew up, I saw it on many, many products, the Good Housekeeping Seal, as it was referred to. And it looked like somebody had taken some kind of metal seal and made a great impression on a particular package. And when you saw that, that was the sign of quality. And you knew that the manufacturer vouched for what they had put into the box, whatever it was. Our God has a way to identify those who are his own, and he has a seal of his own. How has God used this seal, and what is it? What does this seal say about his own followers in Christ? Well, first, let's begin by considering, how has God used this seal, and what is it? And let's start first by saying what this seal actually is. The word that is translated seal in 2 Timothy 2:19 is defined as the inscription or impression made by a seal. In parentheses, the names of God and Christ stamped upon their forehead must be meant here, as is evident from Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, that by which anything is confirmed, proved, authenticated as a seal, a token or proof. We've got two other passages to look at as well in this lesson. One is Romans chapter 4, verse 11, and the other is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. So let's take a look at Revelation 14, 1, and then we will look at these other passages. Revelation 14, 1, please. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, as we know, the book of Revelation has a great deal of symbols in it. And obviously, this is not literal, having the writing of God the Father or the Son across our forehead. It is symbolic. And what we need to understand, of course, is not only that this is written on the forehead, but the location of the forehead. Because this is the head that houses the mind and the heart and the will and the commitment and the desire. This is where God wants to have a relationship with mankind. So it would make sense for him symbolically to write his name and his son's name on the forehead, because that shows and bespeaks ownership of that particular person. And this is certification of that fact. Also, let's consider together Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Romans 4, 11. And take a look at this with me. It's very important. It has to do with Abraham. And, of course, a contrast between Abraham and those who kept the law of Moses. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. The thing we focus on with Abraham is not him keeping the law. Oh, yes, there was the covenant of circumcision established between him and God and those who were males in his household, identifying them as being in covenant relationship with Almighty God. But it had nothing to do with the law of Moses. He was faithful. And, of course, because he was faithful, then, of course, he understood who God was and how important he was in his life and how important it was, of course, to follow God. Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship. So the verification that Paul was indeed an apostle, fully and completely accredited as such, was at this particular point based on those who were followers of Christ, to whom he had ministered and with whom he had shared the magnificent truth of the gospel. And many households were baptized by the Apostle Paul. So think about that. In John chapter 3, verse 33, Jesus set his seal to verify that God is true. Now, Jesus would also want to absolutely accredit the fact that what he was saying and doing had come from God, and that it was truth. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by or through me. And truth there is the Greek word aletheia. And that word means true without any admixture of falsehood, deception, or lying. The absolute truth. That's who Jesus was. That's who he continues to be. And we remember that. So Jesus wanted to verify that God is true and set his seal to do so. Paul sealed and proved himself in a number of ways, but I want to share with you what he wrote about God's own process. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Let's share it together again. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 22. And also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Now the pledge, another way of translating that word is down payment. God gave the Holy Spirit as a down payment on our eternal salvation. And he certainly emphasized this as well in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Look at verse 13 with me, please. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. What's the promise? That God would save his own. God promised it. God will certainly live up to it. And of course, we anticipate him doing exactly that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit was promised upon compliance with the will of God on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Jews ask in verse 37 of that chapter, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter answered. He said, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't talking about miraculous gifts. In fact, to clearly distinguish that, we go to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and we notice in verses 14 through 17, that the church in Jerusalem sent the apostles Peter and John down to Samaria, where men and women had been baptized, according to 8:12. But the Holy Spirit had not fallen on any of them, only they had been baptized. And remember, the apostles never laid hands on anyone to impart or transmit miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit unless they were indeed baptized believers. So these men and women qualified as baptized believers there in Samaria, and Peter and John prayed for and, of course, laid hands on them, and then they received miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's distinguished and clearly different from the gift of the Holy Spirit that Peter talks about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But that gift of the Holy Spirit, he is, of course, the seal, the pledge, the guarantee, the down payment of eternity. And I direct your attention to Ephesians 4:30. 4:30. It says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There's a great day coming, ladies and gentlemen, and that will come when Jesus comes the second and final time. When he comes in the clouds, as explained in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, and of course at that point, then indeed, everything that has been promised by God with regard to that future will certainly be delivered exactly as God has promised. Now, what does this seal say about our God's own followers in Christ? Since a seal is meant to confirm, prove, and authenticate that we belong to God, it instills confidence in his children by giving them solid reassurance that he will not fail or forsake them, no matter the circumstances they must face in life. And there are some passages we need to look at together. So let's go to the first of these. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Then we turn our attention next to what is said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Let's take a look at it together. So much wonderful time spent studying Scripture together, and that's what we get to do. So in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, we have, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Think about that. As God's children, we are his possession. How beautiful is that? And of course, God will take care of us as a direct result of that. So, to verify that, we turn our attention, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let's take a look at it together. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" How beautiful is that reassurance? And it just cascades over us when we read magnificent truth like this. Because God means every word. And he's perfectly capable and powerful enough to deliver every bit of it. And not to fail us and not to desert us. I know sometimes we feel like that in the world, but no, we've got to be focused on our God and understand that God is faithful and God will deliver his promise. The seal written on the foreheads, as I explained before, symbolizes God's ownership of us, and the placing on the forehead, as opposed to any other location on them, speak to his ruling our hearts and minds. This is where God wants to have the relationship with us. Exactly. A spiritual relationship with us. And please let me have you share with me Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Again, Colossians 3, verse 15 in the New Testament. Take a look at this. It's so beautifully worded and so absolutely fantastically true. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule," the question is where, "in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." So you see, this is where God wants to rule in our lives. He wants to rule in our hearts. He wants to have a relationship with us through our mind, through our heart, to our soul and through our spirit. That's what God wants to have the relationship with. You know, it's much the same thing, if you stop and think about it, as, say, a children's wagon without any wheels. Oh, you might be able to drag it, but it's not going to accomplish its intended purpose. Or take a great ship, perhaps even something large, sizable, that's in dry dock. As long as it's in dry dock, it's not in the water. And until it gets into the water, it cannot accomplish its intended design purpose. That's true for us spiritually. Yes, God created us physically. In fact, we came into existence, all of us, through procreation that God set in motion when he, of course, made his first man and woman, and they had children. But you know something? It is the spiritual side of us that God wants to have as his own possession. He understands that indeed a spiritual relationship is a lasting relationship, where the physical body will eventually have served its purpose and soul and spirit will separate from the physical body. Soul and spirit live on, and this is where God wants to have his relationship with us. Although our relationship with God is contingent upon our obedience to him, the idea of the seal conveys security in the face of uncertainties that we are or will encounter in life's journey. And at this point, please, let's go quickly to the book of Romans. I want to share with you just a magnificent set of passages. Romans chapter 8. And let's start together in verse 12. Romans 8, 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And please always remember when you read that, Abba is Aramaic for father. And father is the translation of the Greek pater, father. In other words, father in the most intimate sense. He is our legitimate father, spiritually speaking. So we continue. Verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And then I would share with you also verse 29 from this same chapter. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. How beautiful is that? Please stop and think about it for just a moment. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about our Lord, a word meaning master. He is going to have fellowship with us in the family sense as one of our brothers. It's just a beautiful, beautiful family concept. God is Father, Jesus is our brother, although he is so many other things, and we completely bow down and worship God through Jesus. But oh, how beautiful is that? God wanting to have a relationship with us to call us sons and daughters, and Jesus having a relationship with us as a brother. Oh, it's just magnificent to stop and think about. You know, Paul spoke of those marks that clearly identified him as one who had surrendered himself to Jesus Christ, our Lord. I direct you to the book of Galatians, please. Galatians. And we're going to go near the very end of the letter, into chapter 6. And share with me verse 17, Galatians 6, 17. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Had Paul suffered with Jesus? You know it and I know it. Make no doubt about it. Make no mistake about it. He had suffered exactly with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you stop and you think about that, and it just kind of freezes us in our tracks. This man had gone through all kinds of persecution. He had been beaten on numerous occasions, and he'd gone hungry, and he'd gone without sleep. And he'd even spent a night in the deep. I mean, on and on these things go, and they're listed for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All of these things verify that he was willing to suffer with his Lord on behalf of his Lord. So we understand what he means by the brand marks of Jesus. This made sure people understood he belonged to Jesus, and Jesus was his master, before whom he would humbly prostrate himself and, of course, serve on a daily basis. It's amazing. Think of how dedicated Saul was when he persecuted Christians, and he thought he was absolutely right doing so. And yet how dedicated he was to Jesus Christ, the very one whom he persecuted, when he understood by being confronted by Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Oh, all of these things come home to roost, don't they? And they set so deeply within us, so deeply within our hearts. It's so important in this world where often we feel lonely and we feel set apart from others. And we just don't know what to do to be reassured that we belong to God and that his seal, although symbolic, his seal still verifies exactly who we belong to and whose we are, and that he's going to be there for us and keep the promises that he has made to us throughout our lives. God will not forsake. He will not, and he will not desert. He will be there with us through our lives, no matter come what may. And I hope that gives you great reassurance, and I hope that gives you great courage to live your life with a smile on your face, understanding that about God. Oh, I realize life circumstances don't always bring smiles. Well aware of that. But please understand, in God, through Jesus Christ, we can obviously, every day, find reason to smile and cause to rejoice and be happy because of the price that God was willing to pay with the sacrifice of his own son. It's just so beautiful to me. I think about it on a repeated basis, all the ways that God has made a difference in my life over the years. And I look back and there's so many things I see that I can attribute to no one but God. Things I couldn't possibly have imagined that God would do. Things that I would go through in my life. Very, very difficult challenges. Many of them, over and over it seemed. And yet there was God. When the smoke cleared, if you will, there was God. And he was reaching out to me. And he was holding my hand, symbolically speaking, and going to lead me on in my life. Those bad times, when they came, they didn't last. Oh, they were difficult, and they continue to be difficult at times, but they don't last. God gets us through them. He may do it in a way we don't understand or we don't see or isn't clear, but God gets us through all of them. And that's why a lesson like this, I think, is so important and so appropriate. Yes, God knows those who are his, no doubt about it. And to verify that, he set his seal. And what does it consist of? Well, sealing us in the Holy Spirit by having the Holy Spirit indwell us once we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and indeed are baptized in the name of Jesus. He gives us that gift of the Holy Spirit. And think about some things quickly with me regarding the gift of the Holy Spirit. Know that he's there to make sure that what we say to God in prayer gets to God in prayer, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. As we've already pointed out in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, he gives us that reassurance of eternal life, a down payment. So folks, don't ever give up. I know the battle rages hard, and I know it's a real war out there. But God is in control. Let's give him praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, and we hope to see you sometime at the Ukiah Church of Christ when we assemble for worship. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Ukiah Church of Christ. The Ukiah Church of Christ is located at 33981 Ukiah Boulevard in Ukiah. Visit their website at ukiahchurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Ukiah Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.